All right, we are now on to the Mishnah on Daf Hey Amud Aleph in Avodah Zarah. First, I hope everybody had a wonderful Pesach, Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And now we're back to, after dealing with Hagalas Kalim or Hechsher Kalim the last 2 weeks, we're back to our regularly program show. This one you could watch and listen to with your mother present or your wife present. And the Mishnah here now turns its attention to a new topic of Avodah Zarah. And it's a very, very, the whole sugya, even though the Rishonim do not formulate it as starkly as I might like or it might have been helpful to me, the central question that the sugya is going to deal with is what is the nature almost of karka olam? What happens if non-Jews worship the ground? Now, you know, we have an expression, he worships the ground that someone walks on, but, you know, we don't normally worship the ground, and ground is not something worthy of worship. But if you think about magnificent forces of nature, I imagine if you look at certain pagans, there are mountains that they worship, you know, of unusual stature, of distinction. And the question, since we know that when a goy is oved avodah zarah, the object becomes aser bahana, one can imagine, you know, the clever yeshiva bachur, you know, who's, you know, yeshiva bachur are very clever. There was once a shayla that was brought, I'm told it was brought to Rav Asher Weiss, I don't know if it's true, about a bachur who was kicked out of yeshiva, and he was so angry that before he left, he went and he wrote things on the margins of all the svarim, you know, of all the shasim. So the question was, his purpose was that maybe you couldn't use it on Shabbos, because by opening up the book, it's the letters on the side of the thing. So you have to give points to the Bachur for cleverness, right? I mean, this is the kind of vandalism, which is, you know, simply to tear things, there's no chachma to that. But this is chachma. So here, like, some guy figures out, you know what, I want to asu these things, so I'm going to go bow down to them and make them asu. So obviously that can't be. And we have a principle in general that karka olam is not neseris. That's something that really comes perhaps from the sugya, but something that is mechubar lekarka is not nesar. Just an example elsewhere in halacha, hilchas avelus. The halacha is that a kever is aser bahana, but only a kever shel binyan. A kever that's dug into the ground. There's a machlokas, a rishonim here, there's a minority opinion, but most rishonim say, let me say the following. Everybody agrees that if you dig a crypt into the ground, and the way they would dig underground, you'd have sort of a covered cave, and you dig into the sides of the walls, everybody agrees that that's called karka olam, and the kever is not aser bahana. And if you remove the mace, there's no prohibition of using these things. There is a machlokes, even though it's a very much a minority opinion, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, that if you dig a grave in the ground, you dig the dirt out, and then you put the dirt back in, there's a minority opinion that it's aser bahana the dirt. However, most Rishonim assume that that's not correct. They assume that it is mutar bahana as well. The only way you can have a kever, which is aser bahana, is if you have basically what's a mausoleum. You build a building into the ground, and that's where you bury the mace. Our practice is not to do such a thing, but it's very clear, and you've got Achronim writing how it's aser. If you look at the Kolbo on Avelus, he talks about this, but if you actually read the sources, it's very clear. I don't know how often it was done, but theoretically, that type of a kfura, since the building is mechubar lekarka, that's called kfura bekarka. So we don't do that anymore. When they're burying in Eretz Yisrael now, I think they're burying buildings for lack of space, but they have a column of dirt connected to the ground, and that's how they want to get around this particular issue.
What do you mean they're burying buildings?
They're running out of burial space, so now they're building like small buildings. I haven't seen them myself, but I'm told they're building buildings up, and they bury in levels, but they have a dirt column running down near the head, and each grave is connected to that dirt column, so you're still buried connected to the karka. Al-Pidin, I think it's not necessary. It shouldn't be necessary, at least, because it's still, since the building is mechubar lekarka, nonetheless, it is still called karka, because that's what kever shel binyan is, according to most Rishonim. So anyway, you see there the difference between karka olam versus you build a building, even though it's attached to the ground. The building which you put the mace in is aser bahana, but the karka always remains mutaris, because karka olam is not ne'aseris. So the question is, fine, that seems to be, we can all agree that if a guy worships some part of the karka, some part of the terrestrial, some feature, or he worships the sea, or a river, or a spring, that it's not aser bahana. The question is it avodah zarah? Now, you'll ask me, well, who cares? What difference does it, what is this, what's this question? So there are a few things that we would wonder about. The one issue that is explicit in the Gemara is what happens if somebody actually worships it? Is the person chayiv misa? Is that person, in other words, has he actually violated avodah zarah, since he hasn't worshipped something that's an avodah zarah? So the question really is it that he's not worship? Is it not Avodah Zarah, or is that just that you can't ask? There's two aspects to Avodah Zarah. One is that I worship a deity that's not God, not a single God, and the other aspect is that sometimes when I worship Avodah Zarah, things associated with that become Asur B'Avodah Zarah. Now, so one potential litmus test might be, what would the din be of someone who worships the karka? He worships the har. So the Gemara is going to say it's a tosefta in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to say on Daf Mem Vav and Aleph that if a guy, anybody who worships the harim is chayav misa, even though the har is not asur b'hanal. In other words, the act is certainly an act of Avodah Zarah, even if the har doesn't become asur b'hanal. But there's another question that might go along with that, which is not necessarily the same thing, which is, I understand if I worship the har, I'm chayav misa, right? But what happens if a person shechs an animal to the har, tikroves avodah zarah? Do you say that the tikroves is prohibited in hana, or do you say that no, because the har itself is not avodah zarah, any other physical object connected with it cannot become tikroves avodah zarah? Right? So it's a question of the nature either of what is the har or what is the nature of tikroves. And this particular issue is a machlokas harishonim, what the status of tikroves is. We're going to explore, first thing we're going to explore after reading the Mishnah is this machlokas between one Lashon Rashi and Rabbein Tam, is the har actually considered avodah zarah? And it seems that the practical difference that would emerge is what is the status of that which you sacrifice to the har. Here's another possible consideration that might, and the Gemara is going to the Gemara never explores, as far as I know, tikroves in this context. But something the Gemara will explore, which again, it doesn't articulate in these terms, but clearly is focusing on what is the nature of this karka, olam, when you worship it, what is the din, legabe gavoa? For example, balei chayim, as a rule, are not nesarim. If a person has a cow, and he says, you're my God, and bows down to the cow. So the cow is not asur b'hana. But, you cannot bring the cow as a karban. It's called a nevad. In fact, even if you just set the cow aside, you designate the cow to be worshipped later as avodah zarah, called muktzah. It is set aside for avodah zarah. You also can't bring it as a karban. Meaning, it is asur lagavoa, even though it's mutar lahedyo. You and I can get hana from that cow, but it cannot be brought as a karban. Obviously, because it's mos. It's disgusting, and that's... But how can you do that? The question would be the following. Supposing a guy worships the har, and let's say there's a lot of marble in the mountain, and now we're repaving the floor of the Azara, and we want to extract the marble from the mountain and use it for that, or we want to use it for the Mizbeach. The question is, do we say that even though there's no Isser Hana on the mountain, and as Rashi will say, it means you can plant there, it means you can excavate rocks, you know, and that material and use it, maybe it's Asur Lagavoa. So again, this seems to be focusing perhaps on the same question. Even though technically speaking, the Har is not Nesar, it might still be that it's Avodah Zarah, and therefore it has the status of Nevad, the same way, just as a cow, an animal, is not Nesar Bahana. And I might add that Tosefta points out, and Adam is also, if you deify a person. So I used to jokingly say that, I don't like this, but in the last 10 years ago, some individual prompted the students when they started making flyers for people talking, initially the Rabbeim, they put their pictures on it as well. I think we could do without this. It's a little bit too much of deifying one's Rabbeim. And my comment was that I don't want that because they might have to burn me as an Avodah Zarah because lo sachmod al kesef azan lechachalach, right? You make someone into Avodah Zarah, so you have to burn Avodah Zarah. So the fact is that Adam, like all other Balei Chayim, is not Nesar. But if you mishtachev ala Adam, you make a person into Avodah Zarah, and you worship him, you're Chayev Misa. You're Chayev Misa, even though the Adam is not Asur Bahana. It's an interesting question. You could raise the same question here. The Gemara doesn't talk about Adam. And the Tosefta here mentions Harim and Adam, both of them, as parallel examples where if you worship them, you're Chayev Misa, but they're not Nesar Bahana. Now, you normally can't give Adam to Hekdesh. We don't generally sanction human sacrifice, although you could theoretically if you had an Eved. If you had an Eved, you could donate the Eved to Hekdesh. Hekdesh would just sell the Eved to someone else and then use the money. But the question is it appropriate? So I don't know that there is a use for Eved in terms of Hekdesh, as opposed to stones from the mountain. You actually could build into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mizbeach, and so on.
The whole issue of Shinui, come into play here?
Excellent question, and the Gemara will talk about that in the following context. On the assumption, the Gemara doesn't say this explicitly, but it's, I think, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara will say what happens if somebody is mishtachav elechitim, that are attached to the ground, and the assumption here being that they become osur lagavod, which is not clear, but on that assumption, but now you take the chitim and you grind them up. Now, it's a shinoi, does that become mutter? And the analog that Gemara is drawing is from Esnan Zon. In fact, the notion that worshipping the ground, that stuff that grows to the ground might be osur lehekdesh, the Gemara wants to learn as a kal v'chomer from Esnan Zon. Esnan Zon, we'll talk about it when we get there. It's not exactly what it sounds like. It's not your typical Zon, but whatever Esnan Zon is, so the Gemara wants to maybe learn from that, you know, by analogy to Nevad of Karka, that it's osur lagavoa. Even though it's permissible to the Hedyot. And halacha, it's a machlokas beis Shammai beis Hillel about the Esnan Zona, but beis Hillel darshins, beis Shammai darshins gam shnehem l'rabo shinu yehem. Beis Shammai says that if you give the Zona chitim as her Esnan, as her higher, and then it's ground up, you can't, beis Shammai says you still can't bring it as a carbon, but we paskin, I believe, like Beis Hillel there, I assume we do, I don't know for sure, that Beis Hillel says, no, shinoi, just like shinoi's kona by monetary issues, so shinoi means that the chitim no longer exists, there's now flour, this is a different, it's panim chadashos baulakan, so the Gemara will raise the very same question here about mishtachav el chitim, would they be good for the menachos, on the assumption that they are nesar, that the chitim are nesar, for whatever reason, would the shinoi be mutar lagavoa? So that question will be addressed. But let's assume for the moment with the rocks, you don't necessarily make a shinoi. You take the rocks out of the mountain, and now you install them on the floor, you install them in this beach, and so on. What would the din be? Okay, but that really is sort of the central question. As I said, it's a question that's not limited only to Avodah Zarah. It's relevant in Avelus. It's even relevant... I never thought about this until yesterday as I was going over this Gemara again. Thinking about this particular aspect, there's a very important sugya, totally unrelated, we dealt with parts of it earlier in the Masechta, about Yehorik Vayavar, things which a person has to give up one's life for rather than violate. So there are three things in that. There's Avodah Zarah, Shvichos Damim, murder, and Gilei Arayos. So the sugya and Sanhedrin, at the end of Perek Ben Soramora, at the end of the eighth Perek, asks the question, how could Esther Hamalka do what she did with Ahasuerus? On the assumption that what the Gemara's question is there. It's a machlokas arishonim, but the way the Balei HaTosfos understood the question of the Gemara, the Medrash says, not in Sanhedrin, in Megillah, that Esther was married to Mordechai. So how could Esther submit to Ahasuerus if she was a married woman committed adultery, even if it were to save her life, it's Yehorik V'Yavor. The Gemara, if that is the Gemara's question, it's not entirely clear. If that's the Gemara's question, well, the Gemara's answer to that is Esther Karka Olam Haisa. Now, the way we typically take this is very interesting, is passive. In other words, Yehorik V'Yavor does not apply when someone is passive. And a woman, in most cases, in default cases, in sexual acts, is considered passive. Certainly when she's being forced. She is but the choice of the language is very, very interesting, and I don't recall that we shown him. I didn't go back and look at that. I don't remember them talking about this choice of karka olam, because if you think about it, the term is karka olam eino neseres, and the Balei HaTosfos take this to mean, understand the Gemara, that a woman who was mezana beratzon because she was forced, in effect, even though she was supposed to give up her life, she would not be asur labaila, Rabbeinu Tam says in Ksubas, because she is karka olam. It's like karka olam eina neseres. The question, of course, is how does that exactly map up with our case? The terminology is identical, but the meaning seems to be slightly different. But I think that once we explore the sugya a little bit, we'll see how they're actually something of analogy between passive and active. Well, it doesn't appear to be connected on the surface, but the terminology that is utilized is identical. Okay, so let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says on Memhei Amud Aleph, Hanachrim ha'ovdim es sehorim ve'es ha'givaos. If non-Jews worship the mountains or the hills, hein mutarim, the hills themselves are mutarim, umash aleihen asurim, that which is on top of them, if the goyim put statues, if they plated it with the ground with gold or silver, that is Asur. Shenemar lo sachmod kesef v'zahav alehem. The Torah in Parshas Ekev says that you're not allowed to vote when it comes to avodah zarah. You may not covet the gold and silver that is on top of them, v'lokach talach, and take it for yourself, but rather you have to destroy it. And it would seem that the Tanakhama is basing what is the limud from the pasuk is that when the Torah speaks about avodah zarah in the beginning of Ekev and it says you shouldn't desire that which is on top of it and take it, it doesn't say anything about taking the avodah zarah itself. It only talks about what's taking on top, what is attached to the avodah zarah, the decorations. And so the Tanakhama is assuming that that must be talking about a case where the avodah zarah itself is not aser, namely, because it's harim or gvos, it's mechuber lekarka or it's karka, and therefore the avodah zarah itself is not nesar, and nonetheless the Torah says that which was placed on top of it, that which was covering it, that actually is asur bahana. Now, why is it exactly that the gold and silver that's on top of them would be asur bahana? Why is it not part of the karka? So there are two ways of going about this. The obvious way, which would be the lesser chiddush and would solve our problems, it wouldn't raise any further complications, would be what? Why would you say? No, why is it?
It's like an idol.
But it's karka, isn't it?
But it's not. It's not, you put it on there.
Right, so what I would say is that this is not really attached to the ground. You know, there are different levels of it being attached to the ground. Something that was always part of the ground is the way it is. Certainly, most olam, that is karka mamish. If you build a house and you put the foundations, you know, not a thing on wheels on top of that, or not something that's just not, that is merely resting, you know, on top of the ground, but rather is actually dug in with a foundation with dirt piled over and it's connected, that is called mechuba lekarka for many, many halachic purposes. Maybe not for all, particularly in the Zara. And for example, by the kever example I mentioned before, that mausoleum is aser bahana if you put a mace in it, even though it's right now mechuber lekarka. So let's say for tumah and tara purposes, something that's mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tumah. So the metal door here, even though a metal kli is normally mekabel tumah, regardless of shape and form, this door, which was made to be attached to the ground, is not mekabel tumah. Not mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's mechuba lekarka. And yet, in the very same building, if this were a standalone room that was made to bury a mason, it would be asur bahana, even though it's mechuba lekarka. So, even in different areas of halacha, what is defined as a mechuba lekarka may shift. But the simple explanation is the gold and silver is not part of the ground. Right? It's not a building that with a foundation in the ground. It's not a tree that's taken root in the ground. It's just stuff you put on top of the ground. Even if you stick a peg in, it's not really mechuba lekarka. The alternative is to understand, no, that even if I attach it really well, nonetheless, it could be that it's not considered karka olam. Think about the term, what does karka olam mean literally? What does the word olam mean?
Eternal.
It does not mean world, it means eternal. Certainly in biblical Hebrew, the original meaning of the word olam, except for one place in Kohelet, the word olam in Tanakh never refers to the world, the spatial sense. Olam always refers to eternity. Right, only one place, Gamas Olam Nasan Belibam, in Koheles, maybe the word Olam means the world, in the way we use that sense. So when the term is used, Karka Olam, it's a rabbinic usage, but the question is, which Olam does it mean there? And it could be that Karka Olam could be read as eternal, meaning it's been part of the Karka forever. In which case, the Kesef Vizav, even if I attach it to the ground, nonetheless, it's not part of the original landscape. Right, it's not the. Now, obviously, you could ask, well, what happens? The world, we don't believe. Maybe they did. We don't believe the world was created exactly the way it is. We know that Mount Everest is growing a few, you know, millimeters every year, or every 10 years, or something like that. Right? Things are there are minor shifts, even in fact, tectonic shifts that are happening all the time. The world today is not the world that it was 5,000 years ago, and certainly not 5 billion years ago, and certainly not 5 billion years ago. But so then, how would you define Karka Olam? If nothing is truly eternal,
natural
as opposed to
man-made.
As the Mishnah is going to have in the second opinion, tfisas yad ha'adam. As soon as man has been involved in some way in shaping it, that could be a game changer. So you could say that the kesef hazav reflects some type of human intervention. Okay, then of course there's a whole range of things in between. If you plant a tree, on the one hand, a human being planted the tree. On the other hand, once you planted it, taking root and it's growing is a natural process. So that we have to figure out. And the Gemara actually is going to talk about that question.
Are you permitted to exploit oil and gas deposits in a tribal land with a tribe could considers that land holy?
So the answer, I think, is based upon the first opinion here, yes. I mean, not talking about the Gezel question or insensitivity to people question, but assuming from the Zera question, only answering that aspect, the answer is yes, that would be exactly like mining the rocks. So if you take a, let's read Rashi, the first Rashi. Rashi says that the mountains and the gvos hain mutarim. What does that mean? So this, by the way, the simplest thing to say, you know what it means it's mutar? It means if you want to go hiking. You want to go hiking on Mount Everest, so you benefit from the karka, because if the karka weren't there, maybe you'd fall down. So therefore, for example, if I impose a neder, I say that you, Larry, are not allowed to get any hana from my house or backyard. So it might seem that you're not even allowed to walk in there. You can't use it. It's a shortcut somewhere else. You're not getting enough of the karka. The answer is you're standing on the ground. So maybe that's the first step. But the Rashi goes further than that. It's not just that I can go hiking on those mountains and hills. It's more than that. And he says the following. Hein mutarim, the first Rashi on the page. Heharim atzma mutarim lachtsov avonim mehem. You can mine rocks. I presume metals as well. Then I assume oil falls in that category. Umizriya. And if you want to plant. Demehubar lo mitzar. Mechubar is not aser. How does the Tanakhama know this? Well, Rashi says, he fills it now. Kidenaf galan is the next Tana, is going to say it. Me Elohim ala horim, velo haharim Elohim, kidedarish Rabbi Yose HaGalili. So we'll read that to Rashi, I'll explain that to Rashi in a moment. So Rashi says what it means that the mountains are mutar, is it means that you can take stuff out of the mountains, obviously you can walk on the mountains, you can plant something which is benefiting directly from the karka and the nutrients that are derived, and so on and so forth. That's what Rashi says. Now, so for the Tanakhama, at least at this point, if all we had was the first opinion, we would not be sure why the Kesef is of is Asa. We know it's Asa because it's a Pasuk, but what is the Pasuk telling us? Is it telling us that anything that is not truly Mechubar Lakarka becomes prohibited? Or is it telling us, Josh suggested, that if human beings have intervened in some way, then the parts that have their intervention are no longer lumped under this idea of Karka Olam, and when someone worships them, then they actually become prohibited in Hana. So we can't tell yet. Now Rabbi Yosei HaGalili Omer. Elohim al haharim velo haharim Elohim. Elohim al hagvos velo hagvos Elohim. So what exactly is this referring to? So here you have to look at the pasuk. You probably have the pasuk printed on the side. And the Torah says the following: Abed to Abedun, es kol hamikomos. You shall destroy all of the places, asher avdusham hagoyim, es Elohim. Asher atem yorshim osam es Elohim. Put that in parentheses. Asher atem yorshim osam. It makes it very hard to read this pasuk, right? But that's the land, all the places that you are inheriting, you shall destroy. Asher avdusham hagoyim es Elohim al hehorim haramim vial hagavaos. Now, I suspect that because of that very strange parenthetical comment, Asher atem yorshim osam, which really breaks up the flow of the pasuk, is why Rabbi Yosei HaGalili darshins the following: Lo abeit abdon es kol hamikomos asher sham hagoyim asher atem yoshim osam. Period or semicolon. Okay, you should destroy all those places. Es Elohim al haharim v'al hagvaos v'sachas kol eitz ranan. Their gods, which are on the mountains and on the hills and under every leafy tree. Every shady tree. And he darshans the following. Although, you know, the Torah first said, it sounds like you're supposed to destroy the places. So you want to destroy a place, it tells you to destroy the base of Avodah Zarah. So most of us would take that to mean you go and you destroy the house and you leave it broken down. But it says literally, it's kol hamikomos, you have to destroy the place too. So you might think you have to tear apart the ground. I don't know how deep down you have to dig. So the Torah says no. Es Elohim al hehorim. The gods which are on the mountains, velo hehorim Elohim, but not the mountains themselves. Elohim al hagvaos, velo hagvaos Elohim. The hills, same story. Okay,
trees are a little tougher though.
Wait, so why are the trees tougher?
You're going to have to go under the tree.
Well, that's easier to destroy the tree than to destroy a mountain. I mean, we have, you know...
That's man also.
You got to also take ground.
No, but you're asking the question from the wrong vantage point. You're thinking like an engineer here, you know, or a builder. You're not thinking like a halachis, which is, are trees that are worshipped prohibited in Hana?
Yeah.
That's what an Asherah is. We know from many places the Torah refers to Asherah. And you have to burn an asherah, asherim tisrafun be'esh. So you know that trees are sometimes, somehow, asher
bana. They did something to the asherah.
Ah, okay. So you didn't read the next line in the Mishnah, which is, mimnei ma asherah asura. Why is an asherah asura? Mimnei sheyesh ba tfisas yidei adam. Because it has some human involvement. V'chol sheyesh ba tfisas yidei adam asur. Now, we still have to talk about what type of an asherah tree. And why aren't we darshaning? In other words, why don't we darshan? Es Elohim al haharim, es Elohim al hagvoz, es Elohim tachas kol etz ranan. Why do you artificially stop the drush in the middle of the pasuk? And the truth is, as Tosos will, both Rashi and Tosos will agree, that there are some situations everybody agrees a tree does not become asur b'hanah. The one case that everybody agrees, according to Rashi and Tosos, that they both believe, that all the Tanaim believe, is that a tree that grew on its own, that took seed on its own and grew on its own, if a guy worships it, it's not asur. If a Jew worships it, doesn't matter. And somebody worships it, doesn't have to be a guy, it's not asur b'hanah. Why? Because that's karka ola. It has no human involvement whatsoever. Human being didn't plant it. Human being didn't do anything to it. Therefore, it's considered karka olam. So in theory, really, you could darshan it all the way. Es Elohim ala harim velo harim Elohim. Es Elohim ala gvos velo hagvos Elohim. Es Elohim tachas kal eitz ranan velo eitz ranan Elohim. You could actually darshan such a thing. It is not inconceivable.
Even if they go carving faces into the tree.
Ah, but now you're talking about making some type of a shinoi. But this, that's what we have to figure out. What exactly would the din be there? Right? The Mishnayos later are going to talk about three kinds of trees. You know, in terms of their status for Avodah Zarah, when they're asur b'hanah, which parts are asur b'hanah, and so on. Right? The new growth of that tree would be asur b'hanah. The solution to the problem would be cut off the new growth, and then the rest of it would be mutter. Right? But that is something the Mishnayos will discuss. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi HaGalili presents an explanation. And the first question that comes to mind, the first question the Gemara is going to ask, although we may not get to it today, is there a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? In other words, it's not, there's, on the surface, they don't contradict one another, but why is it presented as if there are two opinions here? Right? The Tanakhama says, the Nachrim, the Harim and the Gvos are Mutarim, but the stuff on top is Aser. Rabbi Yose says, Elohim ala Harim velo Harim Elohim. Okay?
Seems to say the same.
Sounds like it's saying the same thing.
It's a little different.
Why do you think it's different?
Because the question that the Tanakhama had, it was, are they okay? Because it might be that that's their God. He's saying their God isn't even those hills. It's on top of them. He's saying that...
Well, no. So Rabbi Yosef, no, that is actually, you're going to see, let me read the third opinion. The third opinion is not really, on the surface, a halachic opinion. It's an interpretation of the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani ovin v'odun lefanecha. I assume ovin means something like, Rashi says, to explain. I assume it has something to do with bina. It means to make someone else understand. That's what an explanation is. Sani ovin v'adun lefanecha. I'm going to explain to you the pasuk. It's not talking about what is and what's not asur b'hanah. The Torah gave the Jewish people a command when they entered the land of Canaan. They were to worship the Avodah Zarah. But there's a little catch. You have to find the Avodah Zarah. They have to destroy the Avodah Zarah. Apparently, unfortunately, too many Jews in Bais Rishon certainly took it as a command to worship the Avodah Zarah. They were told to destroy the Avodah Zarah. Destroy the Avodah Zarah. The only thing is, you have to find the Avodah Zarah. So, Amar Rabbi Akiva, ni oven v'adon lefanecha, kol makom sh'ata motzei har gavoa, v'giva nisa, v'eitz ranan, dash yesham avodas kochavim. You want to know where their Avodah Zarahs typically were? Go to the high mountains and the high hills and underneath the shady trees. And the truth is, that is true. It was very common in the pagan world to have shrines on the top of mountains. In the Canaanite pantheon, so the home of El, who was the chief god of the Canaanites, the home of El was, I think, in where the gods used to meet, the assembly of the gods, I think, was Har Moed. And I think Baal had his dwelling place in Har Tzafon, And I think it's also true amongst them, so any number of the Greek gods as well, where I think the home of the Greek gods was on Mount Olympus, whatever. So mountaintops are a good place. You can understand why. So Rabbi Akiva said, the Torah is just giving you a siman. If you're looking to find there over the Zara, check on top of the mountains, check on underneath the leafy trees, because they used to worship under an Asherah tree. It's not telling you anything about the simple way in Rabbi Akiva is that the Torah is not telling you anything about the status, per se, of the mountains, of the hills, of the trees. So Rabbi Akiva sounds like, I mean, if you want it to be extreme, the Gemara does not say a word about Rabbi Akiva. It quotes him for a different purpose. It does not discuss Rabbi Akiva's opinion at all. It seems the Bavli took Rabbi Akiva's statement as more of an agadic statement, interpretation of the pasuk, not a halachic statement in any way. In other words, according to the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva presumably would agree with one of the first two opinions. If they're in disagreement, he would agree with one of them. If they're not in disagreement, then he would just agree, and he's giving Pshuto Shemikra explanation of why the Torah formulated the verse the way that it did. So I'm going to put, but if you wanted to say Rabbi Akiva was a third halachic opinion, it would be an extreme opinion. Rabbi Akiva would be arguing that even the Harim and the Gvaos and the Atzeh and the Eitz Ranan become Aser Panah, which is very hard to imagine that anybody held that way. Right, I think really what Rabbi Akiva would say is that if you can't learn the idea, if you can't derive the idea that the mountains and the hills are not Aser Banah from this pasuk, you know it from Svara, Karka Olam is not Nesera, something that is just part of the part of the earth itself, and let's say with no human intervention, no Tfisas Yadam, it just can't become Aser Banah because it can't, because it's obvious. But let's talk about the first two opinions for a moment. If I didn't have the Gemara in front of me, I actually would have made the following argument. I would have said that the Tanakhama's opinion is, going back to the question that I began Shir this morning with, the Tanakhama's opinion is that the Harim and the Gvos are Avodah Zarah, but they're not Aser Bahanah. In other words, when Nachama Ovdim Es HaHarim Es HaGvos, they are Mutter, Umashaleim Asurim. In other words, they're Mutter, and as Rashi says, because of the Drasha of Yosei HaGalili, but that which is on top of them is Aser Bana. Why? Because you worship the Velazara. There's Exeris HaKosev, that Karaka Olam is not Neseris. But it's not that the Har and the Giva are not Avodah Zarah. They are Avodah Zarah. And what would that mean? It should mean that if you worship them, you're Chayav Misa, which the Gemara says. It should mean that if you sacrifice an animal to the Har, the animal is Tikroves Avodah Zarah. It's sacrificial materials that are Aser Bana, and always Aser Bana. And so on and so forth. That's what one would think. And Rabbi Yosei HaGalili says that no. He says, Es Eloheim Eloharim, Velo HaHarim Eloheim. He's making a categorical statement. The Har cannot be treated as Avodah Zarah. And therefore, I would assume, now, I don't know about what he would say about someone who worships the mountain. Now, we have a Tosefta, and it's quoted in the Gemara, that the person who does is Chai Misa, but maybe Rabbi Yosei HaGalili would disagree with that Tosefta. He might say that, nice try, but you failed in worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore you're not Chai Misa, no matter how hard you tried. He might say that Tikroves, that which you sacrificed to it, that which you libated to it, is Mutar Bana. Why? Because you might have tried, but it's not Avodah Zarah. And now, the Gemara never says this, except for the first interpretation in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to have two different explanations as to what the debate actually is. What's the point of departure between Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Chachamim? The first one, which gets very short shrift, might be exactly what we're saying, because the Gemara is going to suggest the most obvious difference between the two is what is the status of the gold and silver on top of it. We know what the Tanakhama holds. What does the Tanakhama hold about the gold and silver plated on top of the mountain? It's also, he says it, Mashalem Asurim. And Rabbi Yosei HaGalili comes along and says, wrong. He says, Eloheim Eloharim, Velo Harim Eloheim. Nice try, but since the Har is not an Avodah Zarah, neither is the Tzipui, neither is the Noi, because you can't have Noi Avodah Zarah if you don't have Avodah Zarah. Right? That could be exactly where the Gemara is interpreting the Machlokas, Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Tanakhama, is whether or not the Har is considered Avodah Zarah. The outgrowth of that is the Noi on the Har, is that Noi Avodah Zarah, or is it Noi to something that's not Avodah Zarah? If it's Noi Avodah Zarah, it's Aser Banah. If it's not Avodah Zarah, then it's not Noi, it's not a beautification, it's not a decoration of Avodah Zarah, and then, of course, it's not Aser Banah. So one could have actually have really read this into the Machlokas, and maybe the Gemara is, in fact, between Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Chachamim. Okay, but now Rashi and Rabbi Nutam, yes?
So in any circumstance, there's a technical difficulty here. You can define items on something, they begin, they end, they're distinct. And if the har was a, if the har itself was a vodah zara, so where does the loin end? Right? The har ends here. The har ends here. So
right.
you're effectively condemning all karkar.
So I think you have to ask either a geologist or a hiker this question. You know, this is part of this, and by the way, this is really, it probably matters more with the hiker things, because it's really lashon bnei adam. What do people regard as the mountain, right? A geologist might tell you that the mountain goes all the way down to the, you know, the core or the mantle or something like that, but when a person deifies something or worships something, it's really what do people see as the mountain. You know, so my assumption would be is that when you reach flat ground, if it's that's on a plane, or when you reach the next valley where it starts to ascend, just it's just a question. Your question is a practical question, but it's not it's not a conceptually difficult question. People have a view of what is called the mountain, where mountain ends and where something else begins, and that's what you would say. That's what you would say. In the case of, I suspect, right? I mean,
but we had to be back from Har Sinai.
Correct. Well, there, God was kind enough to tell them what He said. Hagbela sahar v'kidashto. So they made markers, and then, you know, it said, "Don't go past this point." So that whatever was, I don't know how Moshe Rabbeinu marked it. I don't know what's the term? Jebel Musa is what the Arabs call. I don't know I don't know if today they put signs that say here's the point of Hagbalah, but presumably they made a decision that this is called a mountain. You know, I don't think it's a halachic question of what the mountain is. I think it's a lashon bnei adam question.
Could I just go back to what I was saying before about the Rav Yossi Haglili
opinion? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if that were the case, you could say that about any temple anywhere, because they're not worshiping the temple. They're worshiping their God in the temple. So, karka olam, okay, I got it. It's natural. It's not part of avodah zarah. But anything on top of it, for both opinions, should be, you can't get hana.
The goyim here, remember, over the avodah zarah, whoever they are, again, they don't have to be, it doesn't have to be goyim, are worshiping the mountain. You're raising
not
an important.
Not according to Rav Yossi Haglili.
Well, he's not.
What's on top of it?
No, yeah. Quite the contrary. If anything, Rav Yossi Haglili might hold that what's on top of it is Mutar Bahana, because since they tried worshiping the mountain, and the mountain cannot become Avodah Zarah, not just that it's not Asar Bahana, but it's not Avodah Zarah. If it is not Avodah Zarah, then the decorations on it are not decorations of Avodah Zarah.
Ah, so he's saying they are worshiping the mountain.
Correct. He's not arguing about what the goyim are worshiping.
Oh, okay.
He's arguing that the har doesn't have the status of avodah zarah.
Got it.
It's only the Eloheim al harim you have to destroy if it's gods that they happen to worship when they're on top of the mountain, not heharim Eloheim.
So he's just talking about what's
usher,
not good for you.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Now,
okay.
Your reading, by the way, is not a crazy reading. I didn't think about it until now. Actually, that's not the way the Gemara is going to read the Machlok. It's not the way the Rishon read it for that reason. But what you're saying is not, given Rabbi Akiva's comment, it's actually not ludicrous. In other words, I don't mean it's actually a good suggestion. It's not ludicrous. It's just my first response here. It's like, that's crazy. And then it's like, oh, maybe. Which is there really, is Rabbi Yossi HaGalili coming about it from, you could construe Rabbi Yossi HaGalili without the Gemara as being actually a stringency of a certain kind. His argument is not that Karka Olam isn't Neseres, it's that Goyim aren't worshipping the Karka, which by the way is probably true in many cases, in most cases. But they're not actually worshipping the Karka. A mountain is just a good place to worship because it's high up, it's closer to the gods, whatever else. I assume that in Greco-Roman, in Greek paganism, Greek mythology, nobody worships Mount Olympus. It's the place where the gods hang out. That's where you go, that's where you build their temple, that's where but it's not that they actually worship the heart. But I don't claim any bikias in this. But you could have construed Rabbi Yossi HaGalili as just saying, no, they're not worshiping, in other words, they're not worshiping, the Tanakhama said, the har is mutter, even though they worship it, but the stuff on top of the har is us. And Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says, they're not worshiping the har. Their gods are on top of the mountain, not the mountain itself. But the way the Gemara is going to read it, and therefore the assumption we're going to work with for our purposes, is that the machlokas is that everybody agrees that we're talking about a situation where the goy worships the mountain. Everybody agrees the mountain doesn't become asur b'hana. But the first interpretation of the Gemara, I would posit, might actually be construing the machlokas as whether or not the har, even though it's not asur b'hana, whether it achieves the status of avodah zarah. And therefore, do the decorations on top of the har, do they constitute noye avodah zarah? Okay. But now I want to look at it. The Rishonim don't construe it that way. None of the Rishonim that I've looked at. Rashi, Tosis is going to present, which actually is the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, one version of Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam as to whether or not the har has the status of avodah zarah, with the consequent practical difference. The nafkamina, it appears, is whether the stuff you worshipped, the tekroves, the they call it the Eucharist that was used, you know, to worship the har, its equivalent, the behemoth that was slaughtered, whether or not that is considered tekroves avodah zarah. I probably said this before a few times, but in contemporary America, outside of pagans, the one situation where, assuming Christianity, as I think most poskim do, is avodah zarah, the case where we actually have tekroves avodah zarah is the Eucharist. That is literally tekroves avodah zarah. But there, you're not talking about, it's not on the har, it's not, they're not worshipping the har or the giva. But if you had such a thing by the har or the giva, would it be asur b'hana or not? Okay, so Rashi, in the second Dibur Maschil, the third line from the top of the page, Rashi explains the following. Umashe aleihem, kigon im tzipom zaha v'chesef, asur. Shenemar losach mod kesef v'zahav aleihem v'lokach talach. That just quotes the pasuk. The afal gav the inhu lav avodas kochavim mikru. So Rashi says, now he's speaking for the Tanakhama, not for Rabbi Yosei Goli. Even though they, meaning the mountains or the hills, are not considered avodas kochavim v'lo mitzri, and therefore they are not asur. Gezeras hakosav hi. Skip the parentheses. Gezeras hakasav hi, the talush she'aleihem, that which is detached, not part of the ground, which is on top of the mountains or hills, kitalush shel sha'ar avodas kochavim, is like the talush of all other idols, I mean idols that become asur b'hana. So the talush on mountains, even though the mountain is not avodah zarah, and therefore doesn't become asur b'hana, but the detachable things on top of it do become asur. Shenemar lo sachmod aleihem. Al kol shehin avodim mashma, on anything which is worshipped. The al karchenu. Now, why does Rashi say that harim are not avodah zarah? It's not because they're not asur b'hana. That part Rashi could have sort of dealt with. He says al karchenu anu tzrichim lefarish to lav avodas kochavim mikru. We have to say that the harim and the gvos are not called avodah zarah. The amridan behashochet, the Gemara in Chulin says, distinguishes between two situations: whether if you shecht a behema, whether or not the behema is asura bana, hada amar lahar v'hada amar legada dahar. It depends whether he was shechting to the mountain or to the demon of the mountain. Shahashochet l'shem har lo mikri zivchei mesim. If you shech to the mountain, it's not called zivchei mesim. But if you shech to the demon of the mountain, that's a deity, and you're chai, and that's asur b'hana. That's the korvus of avodah zarah. V'hod detanya l'kamon. But that which the Gemara says on Daf Nev Amud Aleph from the Tosefta, v'ovdehem b'sayef, those who worship the mountains, are put to death by the sword, the penalty for regular avodah zarah. Mishum haytaimahu. It's a similar reason. The afal gav the lav avodas kochavim ninhu leinyan itzurei. Even though the mountains themselves are not avodah zarah with respect to becoming asur b'hana, ovdehem miha l'shem avodas kochavim avdi lehu. Those who worship them did so for the purposes of idolatry. Ula avodas kochavim michavne, and their intent was for avodah zarah. So that here you got to look the correction. He says uvitzmura mukila lahay lo sachmor abalechayim dehavi dumya demechubar. Okay. So in the Bach, I'll go to Bach on the side. You should have some type of a comment there. I'm going to leave aside this last comment, but the reason why they amend is because the line in Rashi just doesn't make sense at all. I know, it's that last line. So we're going to leave out the last four words in our regular inside the text. Rashi's point is the following. Even though the mountain is not actually avodah zarah, nonetheless, and it's not asur b'hana, nonetheless, this exeris hakasav, that which is on anything which is worship, is asur b'hana, and that if you worship anything, you're chai misa. But Rashi assumes that if you actually shech to the har, the behema is muteres. Why? Because it's not tikrovas avodah zarah. Why is it not tikrovas avodah zarah? Because the har is not avodah zarah. You can't have tikrovas avodah zarah unless you have an avodah zarah. Which, by the way, in itself is fascinating, because one could have argued. Let me ask the question this way: why doesn't Rashi just say? He doesn't, because the Gemara says so. But why doesn't Rashi just say that, just like Yechayv Misa for worshipping the mountain, even though it's not Avodah Zarah, and the stuff on top of the mountain is God's Asur, even though it's not Avodah Zarah, that which you slaughter to it is also Asur to God's Zarah, even though it's not Avodah Zarah. So what's the... In other words, we're saying, in effect, we're almost reaching the point of the distinction of the difference. The mountain is not Avodah Zarah, but it quacks like Avodah Zarah, it walks like Avodah Zarah, but it's not Avodah Zarah, right? So the question is, why do you distinguish between Noye Avodah Zarah... Why do you distinguish, on the one hand, between a tikrovas avodah zarah, let's say, versus noye avodah zarah, or versus chiyamisa? In other words, that which you slaughter to it, the behemas muteras, but the stuff that decorates it, or the person who worships it, chiyamisa. So where's the distinction? Now, Rashi categorically comes down on the side of saying lav avodas kochavim, because otherwise, if it were avodas kochavim, it would be avodas kochavim for everything, tikrovas avodah zarah included. So what I understand Rashi to mean is that the truth is, the real question is about Noye Avodah Zarah versus Tikrovas Avodah Zarah. That someone who worships it is Chai Bisa, I understand, right? You don't have to, if someone gets up and declares that this tree is my God, and he doesn't do anything but a verbal declaration, he's still Chai Bisa. He's still Chai Bisa. Now that's Avodah Zarah. It doesn't make a difference. Avodah Zarah is really dependent upon Kavanas Halev. The core Avera of Avodah Zarah is the acceptance of another deity and the denial of God, of a single God. So I understand it's Avodah Zarah, you're Chayiv Misa, no matter what you do, basically. However, when you're talking about the Isurei Hanah, we're not talking about someone who's worshipping the Avodah Zarah. Someone just wants to get benefit. Why should something perfectly useful go to waste? So now the question becomes, why are Noye Avodah Zarah different than Tikroves Avodah Zarah? That's so really the question.
Chavnei.
What?
If he considers what he's doing Avodah Zarah, then it's he's Chayav. In other words,
I agree. But I want to know is, why is the covering of a mountain, the Noye Avodah Zarah, yeah, why is it we say that it's Noye Avodah Zarah is Asur, even though... the mountain is not Avodah Zarah, but that which you sacrifice to the mountain, okay, your Chai Misa, I understand, but that you sacrifice to the mountain is Mutar Bahana. The behemoth itself, you shech, the wine you libate is Mutar. We say because it can't be Tikrovas Avodah Zarah, because the mountain is not Avodah Zarah. So, which way do you want to have it? As if you told me that Tikrovas Avodah Zarah is permitted and Noye Avodah Zarah is permitted, but if someone who worships the mountain is Chai Misa, that makes sense to me. So Rashi, I think, was sensitive to this issue already. And again, in other words, Rashi is assuming the mountain is really not Avodah Zarah. And that's why Tikrovas Avodah Zarah is not Tikrovas Avodah Zarah, because there's no Avodah Zarah there. Why are Noye Avodah Zarah then prohibited? Exeris HaKasav. That's why Rashi told you at the outset. It's Exeris HaKasav. He says he started by saying the mountains are not Avodah Zarah, and he says the fact that the stuff on the Noye Avodah Zarah, he says Gzeiras, right before the parentheses, Gzeiras Akasafu the Tala Shalem Kitala Shasharvas Kochavim, right? The reason why Tikrovas Avodah Zarah is Mutar is a Svara, because it's not Avodah Zarah. The reason why someone who worships it is Chayim Misa, and why it's treated as Avodah Zarah, is because that's not dependent upon the presence of Avodah Zarah. It's dependent upon the intent of the person doing it. But what about the Noye Avodah Zarah? That's Exeris HaKasav, Lo Sachmod, Kesef Zahav Alehem Alakach Talach. But then the bottom line, according to Rashi, is that fundamentally speaking, it is not Avodah Zarah. The fact that it's not Asur Bana means it's not actually Avodah Zarah. Now, the Rishonim are not going
to...
In the absence of Gzeiras HaKasav, of Lo Sachmod, Kesef Zahav Alehem, with just the Gzeiras HaKasav of Es Elohim Al Harim, or wherever the source is, without that, Noye Avodah Zarah would have been Mutar as well. You could have taken the gold and silver also. But because we have Gzeiras HaKasav, that ends that. Now, the interesting thing that the Balei HaTosfos do not talk about is a question that I raised earlier. Okay, we're going to read Tosfos in a moment. But Rashi, as we have Rashi outside of the parentheses, is clear. Rashi says it's the har itself is not Avodah Zarah. Noye Avodah Zarah is an exception for Gzeiras HaKasav. the person who worships the Chayim Misa because it's a totally different issue. But the Tikroves is not Tikroves. If you literally meant to worship the mountain and you slaughtered a behemoth to it, Rashi understands the Gemara and Chulin is saying the behemoth is Muteres Bahana. Rabbi Natan's going to have a different understanding of that Gemara. We'll come to that when we read Tosis. Before we get there, however, the one question that I wanted to raise, and maybe I'll close with this just this morning because Tosis is a little bit long, so I'll keep you in suspense till next week. Is what the Gemara is going to open up a discussion on the bottom of Mem Vav Amen Aleph. Let's turn there for one moment. I mentioned this earlier, the Alpeh, the last line on Mem Vav Amen Aleph. After the Teku. Thank you, Rabbi Feldman. Okay. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama had a question. Hamishtacha ve'lahar, if a person worships the mountain, Avanav Mahu LaMizbeach. What is the status of using those Avan for the Mizbeach? Yesh Ne'avad B'mechubar Eitzel Gavoa. O Ein Ne'avad B'mechubar Eitzel Gavoa. Do we say, I mentioned earlier, that if you worship a behemoth that's alive, the behemoth is Muteres Bana, because Baalei Chaim do not become Aser. But you can't bring it as a carbon. So he asked the very same question here. What about is there Nevat? So here the question, this again, I would say at first glance, and this may be false, and that will solve our problem if I'm wrong at first glance, is shouldn't this be dependent upon the very same question? You might think, and maybe not. It's dependent upon, in order to be something to be Nevat, there has to be an Avodah Zarah there. So I think that the obvious answer to the question is no. It's not dependent upon that question at all, on two levels. Number one, the issue of Ne'evad, who says Ne'evad depends upon the object itself? Maybe it depends upon whether or not the person who worshipped it, whether it was Avodah Zarah. And since you would kill a person for worshipping a behemoth, even if the behemoth is not Nesar, that makes it a Nevad. So say the same thing here, that just as the mountain, even though it's not Asur Bahana, the person who worships it gets killed, and therefore it's considered a Nevad. And there might sort of be two, maybe it's really a simple explanation, I think you give two, which is that the issue of Nevad is not a technical question of whether or not it's Avodah Zarah. The issue of Nevad is something, is whether it's Ma'us Lagavoa. If you look at all of these things, take Muksa, for example. When you mox an animal, not the Muksa of Shabbos, when you do Muksa, you set aside an animal for Avodah Zarah. Why is it Asur LaMizbeach? It can't be Asur Bahana, because nobody worshipped it. The reason why it's Asur LaMizbeach is because it's Ma'us Lagavoa. It's disgusting. As the Pasuk in Malachi says, the Gemara quotes, Hakriveu Nalefecha Secha. There's some things you don't bring to your satrap. You don't bring it to the governor or the president. It's not Bakovedik, so you certainly don't bring it to God. So the same thing would be true here. And the truth is, if you look at the context in which the Gemara, which the Torah's Kohanim in Vayikra, the Medrash Halacha, excludes Nevad, it's Nevad, Muksa, Chola, Zakein, Mezuham, it's all related to Balimun. It's things, a Balimun didn't do anything wrong, right? A Zakein or a Chola in an animal didn't do anything wrong, it's just that it's not nice. So it could very well be that this falls under the same category. Yes, the har is not Avodah Zarah, even if you say, as Rashi has said. But nonetheless, there's still a question. Maybe something that's Nevad, maybe it's a Nevad, is considered, Ma'os Lagavoa, and therefore, even though it itself is not Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, it would be prohibited to bring it as a carbon.
Isn't there the concept of, so let's say you were building an altar, right? And
mm-hmm.
You took the stones from this mountain, mm-hmm. which they worship, right? So even though it might be mutter, but people might say, you see this? So there's a concept of that as well.
So that crossed my mind that I was going to say a little differently, which is if someone theoretically became Chayav Misa because they worship this, it's the same reason the Mishnah in Sanhedrin gives why you kill the behemoth. Right? Why do you kill a behemoth that of Rover nearby? If a person had bestial relations, so we understand why you kill the person. Why do you kill the behemoth? So the Gemara says, because basa takala la adam al yado. Right? Or you don't want people to say And there's a tragedy happened to a person, so we kill that. Or you don't want people to say, oh, that's the animal that somebody was killed because he did X, Y. It's humiliating. Therefore, the Torah says, kill the animal. So in this case, we're not doing anything to the stones. They're not Asarbana. But nonetheless, the Torah says, you don't want that stone in Zbeach. Or somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, you see that pink granite there? That was from Mount so-and-so, where, you know, those guys worship the mountain. So that could be as well. Okay, so we'll stop at this. Rashi then says, the harem are not avodah zarah. But the Zegzeris HaKosav, that which is on top of them is Aser Banah. But the Tekroves Avodah Zarah, on the other hand, is not Aser because it's not Avodah Zarah. If there's no Avodah Zarah, there's no Tekroves. But on the other hand, someone who worships the mountain is Chai Misa because Avodah Zarah, or Avodah, is really Avodah Shebelev, as you might call it. It's dependent upon intent. And if his intent was to deify it and to worship it, he's Chai Misa, even if the Har is technically not an Avodah Zarah. Yeah.